welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, scores, transfers,
fashion,
football fashion, yeah. Paraphernalia, anything that goes with it. So this is the week of September 13th. I'm your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Rob Steller.
And we have a special guest today. We have Alex Nee on the podcast.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So today, as usual, we're going to start with the scores, and then we're going to go into our two topics. First one, we're going to talk about Liverpool. I don't know why we just happened to talk about Liverpool today. I guess maybe you'll find out later.
Never walk alone, baby. Except for this week.
And then we're going to move on to the second topic, basically what are the greatest rivalries in football and how have they changed over the years? So, as usual, with our guests, we always ask two questions. What club do you pledge your allegiance to, and who's your favorite player?
Well, I'm a Reds man.
Which Reds?
Liverpool, of course. You're only Reds. But favorite player, are we going current Liverpool players? Or
it can be
at any time.
Okay. Well, we actually specified to the 1930s.
1930s.
Yeah. We prefer decade. That was just a really
good. It's going to make it a little difficult. Yeah. But I'll have to. I mean, it's hard not to say Gerard, but it's hard to see him go.
Yeah.
Definitely best favorite player growing up as a soccer player. But currently, I don't know. I think Coutinho and Henderson are fighting for that spot in my heart. I have a bad feeling that I think Coutinho will follow his boy Suarez to the Spanish league soon, but I'm sticking Henderson's kind of the heart and soul of that team right now, and we're waiting to see him get back in the field.
Coutinho's crazy because he's one of those guys just out of nowhere. He pulls out this rocket.
Unbelievable.
Randomly.
Absolute firecrackers.
And it's crazy. But have you watched any Galaxy games with Gerard?
I haven't really. I've been following more all of his comments about Liverpool. I think he's been more active, I don't know what it is. He cares way more about Liverpool now, it seems like.
Apparently, even when he was playing for the Galaxy, I think even during a game, he was still wearing Reds shin guards.
Yeah.
It's just
that's
like,
right. No, I find it hard to follow a lot of the MLS games, especially the Galaxy. I'll tune it. When it's on, I like to see how he's doing, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It's kind of honestly a slap in the face with the state our midfield's in now.
Okay, let's get into it. We'll start with the scores.
Let's start with France. So PSG played Bordeaux. They drew 2-2, which was the first time they slipped up. I think they're still undefeated, but they haven't lost yet. It's the first game they haven't won yet. Lyon play Lille. Right? Am I pronouncing that right? We have a French expert here.
Oh, God, I don't know if you can say it.
0-0.
4 years in French class now qualifies me as that.
Monaco, Marseille also both got wins. PSG still top of the table, although their lead has slipped to 1 point, I think. Yep, 13 points to 12.
It still feels like there's not many teams that are going to challenge that.
Well, it's crazy because all the teams like Lyon, Monaco, Bordeaux, Marseille, none of them have really shown that they're going to challenge this year.
Well, it's difficult when you don't have that kind of money. You get those investments every so often, but PSG, they've been a successful investment in that there have been teams that have been bought by other people. I still remember, was it Blackburn who was bought by some investors? Monaco was bought by people in La Liga. Malaga was bought, but most of them can't keep that investment up. Monaco sold off a lot of their good players. The most recent was James. I mean, he cost $50 million when they first bought him. But PSG, like Man City, they've kept the investment up. So who's going to, I mean, really, their benchmark's going to be Champions League. It has to be.
Yeah.
So coming up next week, PSG, and you're going to bash me because I can't say the name of this team for my life. PSG pays Stade de Reims, I think, right?
Yeah, that's good enough.
That's pretty good. The only reason, I have no idea who that team is. The only reason why that's a big game is because they're in third place and PSG's in first. So it's kind of, early top of the table clash. Marseille also plays Lyon, even though they're both a little mid-table right now, so. Yeah, so I think that's it, unless you guys want to talk about French League anymore.
I don't have anything to add there.
Let's move to Italy. Let's move to Italy. Fiorentina got a 1-0 result over Genoa. Roma got, actually, I don't even know how to say this name either. It's one of the newcomers up, Frosinone, I think. They won 2-0. Lazio got a 2-0 win over Udinese, 2 Matri goals, funny enough. And then there were some big results, right? So Napoli ended up drawing to Empoli 2-2.
Man, Napoli.
I know. It's crazy.
They needed Benitez.
That, apparently. a bigger result, in my opinion, was Chievo holding Juventus to 1-1. Chievo was top of the table going into this week.
And that call.
Honestly, they should have won. They should have won. They had a goal disallowed late on that would have made it 2-1, and they looked. They honestly looked the better team, I think, throughout most of it.
I don't know if they looked like the better team, but they should have won that game.
Who should have won? Because you didn't say who.
Oh.
You said they should have won.
Oh, Chievo. Chievo should have won.
Oh, okay, okay. Because I didn't know I was going to ask, and I'm like, wait, I guess I shouldn't ask.
No, but... if I'm saying a team should have won, it's not Juventus.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Chievo, I think, should have won, and there's no other results. No other games in Italy.
Yeah,
nothing
else happened.
The Milan Derby happened this weekend.
Woo!
And we'll talk about this a little bit later. You know, it hasn't carried the same weight in the last few years that it has, you know, 5-10 years ago. It was still big for me personally, obviously being a Milan fan. It was honestly one of the most entertaining games Milan has played in a while. I will put it that much. There were some really questionable choices, like De Jong was left out for Kuchka, which I don't really understand why that was the case. Also, he took Baca out early and put Balotelli in, which was an interesting choice. I think he should have taken out Adriano. Adriano had like two clear-cut chances for a goal, should have scored. There were plenty of chances where Milan could have won.
Yeah.
I will say, and I know every week we say Rob's not allowed to talk about Balotelli.
But hard not to this week.
Yeah. It's hard not to. Like, I came on, you know, obviously I've defended him for a long time. I wish Dave was here because he would, you know, thrash me for this. But, like, I've defended him a lot. And I was ready to – I wasn't really in favor of this move back to Milan. I think, with signing two other players.
And it's still a loan. Like, he's not technically right there.
Yeah, but, like, we had signed two other strikers for 50-plus million. And it's just like, you know, do we really need him? And it was interesting because he came on – and I expected him to play as kind of that lone striker up top. And he ended up playing the trequartista behind the two strikers. And honestly, I've never seen him play better. He was creative. He was making chances. He had two.
That's weird because I don't see him as a creative player.
No.
I can firmly say, as a Liverpool fan, it was the best soccer I've seen him play in the past 3 years.
Yeah.
He was holding up play. Sure.
He was creating chances. He had one free kick and then one other shot that, like,
his balls in off set pieces and just on the wing were fantastic. I think he had one ball in the 62nd minute or something that flew all across the six-yard box, and not a single person got a foot on it. And that was kind of the story of the game for Milan. But.
Yeah, you know, we had the chances we didn't put away, and that's that. So Inter ended up winning 1-0. That's all I'm going to say about that game. No more about that.
But what did you feel about the game? So even just aside from anything of the result, it's also nice to see good football. if there's times when you don't feel like your team's coming together.
So the last few years have been rough for Milan, you know, it goes without saying. And I think, you know, the start of every season, you're like, all right, you know, this is the season we're going to get back on track.
Especially this year.
Absolutely. You don't know, Sean. Yeah. You don't know what that feeling's like. So don't just, you're not allowed to talk. You can talk because you follow Liverpool. Like, you know, you've had mediocre seasons.
I have other teams too, and other
rebuilding for sure. So.
And so, you know, you start the season, you're like, okay, you know, we got a few guys. They're going to come together this year. This is going to be it. And, you know, this was a very early derby. Usually we don't play Inter this early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, third weekend, we had a shaky start and then playing well and losing just felt really tough. It was really tough to take. But, you know, we played well. We played well. I think there's a lot of positives to take away. I think Balotelli showed that he has a desire to actually be a part of a team. Baca played really well, had a few really nice passes to Adriano. Adriano didn't finish, so I don't know. Mihailovic, though, some of his substitutions and his starting 11, though, were very questionable for me. So that I don't know if he's still tinkering. You know, he has a lot of new guys. Like, you know, it's a brand new squad for the most part, so it'll be interesting to see how we progress from there.
So, I mean, looking at this, though, it seems like not as good a result, even though it's such a big game, because Inter hasn't been that great as of late. But right now, they're sitting in first place, so who knows how strong they could be.
Inter's the only team in Italy with a perfect start.
And Juventus
games.
Still looking for that win, is that true?
Oh, which is insane.
It's hard to say that, but...
So that's the consolation I took from this. Juventus has 1 point from 3 games, which... I don't even know what to say about that. I mean, I think they had three losses all year last
and their
season.
Next match is against a strong Manchester City on Tuesday?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Yep. And then anyway, next week in Italy, Chievo plays Inter, so that's 1v2 early on. Napoli also plays Lazio, and they're both, you know, having struggling starts, so that'll be interesting to see them clash together.
Well, so we clearly know, I mean, Juventus is going to be somewhere in the top half. Right now, we don't know where they're. So they'll probably be, I mean, I would say at least top five, probably top three, one or two. Do you think anyone can, like, do you think Inter is where they kind of should be? Or
I don't know. It's hard to say because this is the first year where it's not like one or two clear teams have emerged. It was Roma and Juventus up until, like, you know, the 28th, 30th week, and then it was just Juventus. You know, like, we haven't had a big race up top in Italy for a while now. It's always been Juventus just dominating. And this season, with all the slip-ups that a lot of the big teams have had, I mean, it's wide open.
Yeah.
Granted, you know, it's 3 weeks in, you know, things will even out a little bit, but I think this will be one of the more balanced years that we've seen in a long time.
So exciting. Watch.
The one thing I wanted to ask you about, just watching some of that Inter AC game, I was really impressed. I don't know either of the goaltenders, but the goaltending by, I think, Diego Lopez in the first half was phenomenal.
Yeah.
he had one kick save on a chip over the top that looked like it was going to be offsides. That was one of the clear breakaway. When they slowed it down, it was unbelievable how he got his foot out there in time.
Yeah, I have no idea how he got to that ball.
Really, both goalies played fantastic. Yeah. It was impressive.
So it sounds like Lopez, his problem right now is inconsistency, because he has that talent. I mean, to keep Casillas out when he was at Madrid, because that was probably the biggest part of the crazy thing of his career. I mean, he was really good. But I remember, like, since he came to Milan, he had some really good moments, and then he has some really weird moments that just seem out of character, and I don't know why. So it's good to see him back in form, at least for this game.
Yeah, and then Handanovic, he had just some incredible
saves.
Balotelli had one free kick.
So he was a terrible bottom player. Corner.
I think he saved
that one shot Balotelli had that looked like it was curving into the far post.
And then there were two breakaways in the first half.
So many aggressive plays, so many breakaway saves at the top of the box.
But this just goes back. I mean, if we had finished even just two of those, it would have been a different game. So anyway, let's move over to Germany.
So in the Bundesliga, I mean, right now we're actually seeing something interesting happening. So basically the two big results were Munich won it late 2-1 and Dortmund won 4-2. And you're actually starting – so last year – actually, I mean, how long has it been since – probably since the All-German Champs League that it was really – there was an actual race in the Bundesliga. And even then it felt like Munich was definitely the strongest. And clearly, depth and talent-wise, Munich is number one. But honestly, they've been having close call after close call. This was a last-minute win for them too. And I mean, I'm not exactly sure what's happening, like why they're not clearly winning all of these games. But Dortmund – is on fire. Yeah. They've won something like, I think they have 36 goals or something.
Wow.
Sorry, not that.
Calm down, Sean. They had 15 goals.
Sorry. I was doubling it because that's what I do when I talk about
15
Dortmund.
Goals in four games.
Like, yeah.
That's crazy.
That's insane.
Liverpool has three.
But it's so common. And honestly, they hadn't conceded till last week. Yeah. And that was one goal that was offside. So technically, this is the first week that they conceded. It's really great to see Dortmund doing well. I mean, I don't actually know what happened last year. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
I don't really know.
That was so bizarre.
It was weird. I can't tell why they did so poorly because they still had a strong team. But, I mean, Dortmund's in first because of goal difference.
Yeah.
And actually, I don't know when they play each other. But this is looking really good. And I think a lot of people became semi-Dortmund fans a couple years back when they started doing really well.
Yeah,
and
that
fans
all
are crazy.
German final really had to
and it was
on
really
Dortmund's
good.
Side.
They play October 4th.
Okay, so that's not too far away. But you're really seeing a situation where Munich, I think one thing, though, you always see when you look at the league versus a knockout competition like Champs League, the league is more about depth. Because when you get injuries, which are going to happen, you got to have people. Munich, I said this last week, I think they're the deepest squad in the entire world right now. Like, their subs are unbelievable. So Dortmund doesn't have as much depth, but hey, I mean, if they can keep people healthy, who knows?
I mean, it's still early on, so, you know, we'll see how it plays out, especially down the line. But it's it's good to see someone challenging. I mean, Germany was like Italy the last few years, which yeah. you had a clear-cut winner pretty early on.
And what made mm-hmm. it worse was that Munich would always buy the good.
Right.
I mean, the first good Dortmund player not to go was Royce, and now everybody still wants to buy yeah. Royce. But you had Lewandowski, you have Götze, like, mm-hmm. you know, so anytime even you get close, you just lose the next guy. Right. So it's good to see that actually happening, but those are good results. They're tied top of the table, technically, but Dortmund is ahead.
Yeah.
So then moving over to La Liga, there was one really big game. I guess we'll start over the useless game first. So Madrid played Espanyol, and they destroyed them. It was. Yeah,
so we were talking about Messi and Ronaldo not scoring.
Ronaldo,
that ended
Ronaldo
that.
Answered that call. Trick in about 20 minutes, I yeah. believe. It was so...
I think he's old, though. I think his season's probably done.
Yeah, and... this is another thing to talk about.
Hold on. He had 5 goals, correct?
Yeah,
he had five goals.
And they won 6.
And then 1 assist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he assisted Benzema. But it is absolutely insane that at age 30 you can produce like that. Yeah. I mean, sure, it's one game, but 5 goals for any striker ever is a huge achievement. Like, you think about how many players right now have ever scored 5 goals in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, what's his name? Who's the former Man U player? He scored 5 in one game. That was so ridiculous. Oh, I'm not thinking of, he transferred a couple years back. Dave hated him. I can't think of what his name is. that ruined that story. But just it is absolutely ridiculous. And the weird thing is, it feels kind of normal for him. It's like,
yeah, it's run the mill.
And he's now in La Liga. He is the all-time leading goal scorer for Real Madrid. For a club like that, insane. Especially also considering he spent a good portion of his career, Man U. Like, right. he didn't spend his whole life at Madrid. And he needs 5 more goals before he's the overall Real Madrid scorer. Because it's not including, like, Champions League and stuff like that. But he'll probably do that this week when they play in Champions League. Like, he'll probably score 5. So it's insane. But... Espanyol didn't look very good, so it was just...
I was going to say, I don't know anything about Espanyol, or really, I'm not much follower of La Liga in general, but what were they throwing out there on defense where he walked in 5 times?
You also get... It's one of those things, too, for a lot of teams. I think it gets debilitating, because there are times where you just know you can't beat them, and once... You get a 20-minute hat trick.
Yeah.
It's kind of like... And people always talk about the fight in the Premier League, which is true, but I also think right now there's no Premier League team that is as dominant. Like, is the gulf in talent is that much. Like, well, we'll talk about it later, but you think about even, like, the Chelseas and the Cities, they're good, but they're beatable. And Madrid, I mean, it's good for them to see them, because I think a lot of worry people had was Benitez, and Benitez is very defensive. Yep. They still haven't had a real test yet, but whatever, 6-0. But anyway, enough talk about Madrid. The big game of the weekend was Atletico Madrid versus Barcelona at the Calderon. So that is actually a really hard place to play. And, you know, people still brush off Atleti because people think of Madrid and Barcelona, but people don't realize that they strengthened a lot in the offseason. And they spent a lot of money. They spent over $100 million, and they're a really good side. I mean, they got to the semis last year in Champions League. Like, that shows you how good they are. So they actually opened up the scoring with Fernando Torres.
This was a great game. Let me just say.
It was
this
a great game. I cannot believe. Watching Fernando Torres score goals literally is soul-crushing.
Yeah, same here, man. Yeah, he did nothing for us, too.
Oh, my Lord.
But he was still,
He did a lot for Liverpool.
For Liverpool, he was
then,
good.
A year later, he transfers to Chelsea. I mean, I can't really be mad about that. There's been a couple of players, but screw the guy, honestly.
I mean, if you think about it, I guess you guys got 50.
He also, he also faded away pretty aggressively while Liverpool. He went from like a 20-goal season to a 7-goal season.
I think he had
under the same manager.
One for Milan. Yeah.
We'll talk about. I think this will be a topic eventually, but how players that talented, or I assume are that talented, can fall off that much. But Torres,
it was a nice finish. I will give him
it
that.
It was good. It was a great pass. It was actually a crazy move. There were a couple people passing to each other. There were at least, I think, 4 people involved in the play. And it was a good finish. The thing is, though, there's a reason why Diego Simeone always starts him versus us, because he has scored against us a lot.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many times he scored. And Fernando Torres is not a starter every week. He's rarely a starter, but Diego Simeone starts him because he knows he can score. So they open up the scoring. I'll talk about that in a second. But then Neymar had a really great free kick. I think we looked pretty good. Rakitic had a good chance. We were looking good.
That was
an
unbelievable save. Yeah. And run by Rakitic. I don't know who played the ball to him, but that run he made from half field all the way down when the ball was already on the top of the box, and then just a phenomenal save.
Rakitic, he was pretty cheap, and he's still one of those people that people don't talk about that much, but he's really good.
Yeah.
And he's not at all the same player as Xavi, but he's worked well into our new system where we want to play more direct. But Oblak, their keeper, has done really well. So and I think he started, I forgot his name. They play their other keeper. He was their big buy last year, but he didn't play because of an injury and things like that. But Oblak is a solid keeper. But the funny thing, Messi did not start.
Yep.
So,
Papa.
So the big reason they say is so he had his second kid. He gave birth on the other day. No, but so he his girlfriend, I guess he's not actually married. She gave birth, so he actually was allowed to miss practice. And
unacceptable.
So they say that's the reason why he didn't start. My only thinking though is Messi is the one guy that if he wants to start, he just says it and he does it most of the time. So, he's the guy who always wants to play.
Yep.
So there's part of me that's really hoping it's not, but there's part of me that thinks there might have been a dust up with Lucho. I don't know though. I don't know.
I was going to ask. Say, a lot of coaches have a rule: you miss training 2 days training before next game, you can't play. A lot of coaches have a rule. Any sport.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the case when a Messi, when a Ronaldo, when a Suarez comes in, he misses practice for whatever reason, his kid is born? Are you going to say, hey, you're not playing against an Atletico Madrid where you know it's going to be a tough game?
Yeah, yeah, especially, yeah. I honestly,
it's hard for me to believe you're looking at Lionel Messi in the eyes and saying, we're going to have to sit.
Yeah, sorry, you gotta bench. Well, so here's the thing. Last year, Lucho did bench him because they had a dust-up, and that was when we had this crazy, everybody thought the club was falling apart because we were. I will say one difference. So you think about last year, and the same thing with a bunch of our coaches previously, they were new managers. Lucho had done nothing at that point. Now he has a treble behind him. Yeah. So that gives you a lot more weight. It's still, Pep never benched him. A part of the reason why they brought Tata Martino in later is because they knew each other from Boca Juniors in Argentina. So they felt like he could talk to Messi and say, hey, we want you to be at 100%, so we need you to sit out like a game. He doesn't even get subbed. Him and Ronaldo never ever leave the pitch. But anyway, I don't know. People say you can't be bigger than a club, even a club as big as Barca, but I think Messi is one of those players that is kind of bigger than the club.
Isn't that what your club
more than a club.
But
Messi is more than the club.
Messi is more than the club.
Messi. But either way, Messi came on for the last 30 minutes. He was looking really good. He had some good nutmegs and just good runs, and he had a terrible free kick, but he made it up with a good couple passes in the box. Suarez set him up.
Ball by Suarez was phenomenal.
Was great, yeah.
Just a touch on that.
And Messi, he had two defenders on him who went in for a tackle, but he was able to put it behind Oblak, which led to the win. And this highlights another thing that I think gets undervalued is how important it is that your important players get along with each other. You could clearly tell Messi, Suarez, and Neymar really like each other. I mean, the first thing Messi did, because he got the assist from Suarez, he immediately ran to Suarez and hugged him. Yeah. And I'm not trying to put the dagger in, but I think that's one thing that Madrid has needed when it came down to the wire, like they needed important games. The quality of Bale, Benzema, and Ronaldo is off the charts, but they definitely do not get along together like Neymar, Messi, and Suarez have at this point. And having that kind of that playing off each other, it honestly reminds me of Suarez and Sturridge, they worked well together.
Yeah.
When you like who you're playing around, it makes a huge difference. So,
So are you worried that you've only scored 4 goals in 3 games so far?
Yes and no. Yes, obviously that's not much.
Obviously you're the only team that with a perfect start out of 3 games. So you know, there's a you're winning games, but you know, you're not scoring.
So the reason why I'm not is because Bilbao, I mean, they were kind of a voodoo team for whatever reason, because they had just beaten us. So it was good to get that win over. Atleti, only scoring two, don't care. They're really good defensively. And people do not understand how difficult it is to play the Vicente Calderon. So it is that I'm fine with. It still is weird that we didn't score that much, yeah. But I don't know. I kind of expect it to happen with the one thing. I think the greatest thing, like, it was good when we signed Neymar, but the bigger thing about having Suarez is that it feels like with Pedro, he could have off days. With us at this point, even if two of them have an off day, one of them is going to have an on day.
Yeah.
So that's how it feels like. So I just feel like it's a matter of time where we'll start scoring goals, but I'm not too worried about that yet. We'll wait on that.
Yeah. Okay. You have to imagine those front three are going to,
I would hope so.
Get their numbers.
Yeah. And honestly, behind them, Rakitic scores.
Unless Messi's popping out any more kids.
seriously, he just has a couple more kids. But yeah, so that puts us top of the table, and I think that's a really solid result for us. So,
yeah, definitely.
With any leagues? I don't think there are any other leagues, right? I think
that covers it.
Oh, the Russian league. Yeah. So Zenit.
I think Porto might have third Porto, or something.
Yeah. All right, so let's go to England. Premier League. We had a couple of good big results. Arsenal got a 2-0 win over over Stoke. Arsenal looked really good. I mean, they had tons of chances. That game could have easily been 6-7. Everton over Chelsea, 3-1.
That
Mourinho is imploding. Like,
they are 11 points back. I was the one who said it's too early to call it. I mean, it's still always too early to call it because we think about how things
Sean, they're 2 points away from the drop zone.
They are insane. Literally going to get relegated if the season ends next week.
It's crazy.
I mean, they not only – but the bigger thing is I'm always like – I'm more okay with bad results if they look good. They do not look good at all.
Terrible. It was 3-1. Naismith was subbed in as an injury.
Yeah.
And he gets the hat trick.
Naismith. Unbelievable. Granted, they were pretty good goals, but the only goal that Chelsea scored was Matic out of nowhere. Yeah. It was totally just out of nowhere. But but to sing the praises of Everton, I mean, they looked good. I mean, it was that good a sin, but still, like playing against Chelsea.
Naismith, I'm pretty sure, had a perfect hat trick, left, right. And header.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did. And they were good
they
too.
Were like unbelievable.
I mean, every single goal. The first goal was pretty far outside. It was a good shot. A nice header in from across. The third goal, I was like, okay, I mean, he's gonna miss this because there was no angle, but he still got it in. And that was the one that put the nail in the coffin. Like, you thought 2-1, maybe they'll get a draw. But I mean, as much as I just want to talk about Everton doing well, we can't not talk about Chelsea. Like, this is insane.
Yeah, it seems like an absolute collapse.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to make matters worse, next week they have Arsenal at home.
Yeah.
And that seems like a must win, but I don't see it happening.
We've talked about Mourinho's curse for the third season.
That's right.
The club, man. That's it, man.
But I don't feel like their teams have ever been this bad on their third year. And and you look at their squad, it's not, I mean, I don't think they bulked up enough in the summer, but
they still
feel
have
like
one
this
of the better squad.
That team should be finishing top three, top four.
They are, but
pretty handily.
Hazard, Fabregas, Ivanovic, everybody. I mean,
it's a beautiful thing.
It is a wonderful thing. And I think the other thing you can kind of tell, Mourinho, in my opinion, looks a little shaken because he always messes with the press and other coaches, but he's saying things that I don't hear him say. Like, he kind of swore at Martinez when he was in the hallway. Yeah. And then, I don't know. I think he was in the hallway, but I didn't witness it. The other thing is people talk about Arsenal, and he said we can definitely beat them, which in a weird way, I feel like when you know you're the better team, you say they're a very good squad. You never know what's going to happen.
He's always coy about his responses.
But I mean, when he said, we can definitely beat them, it sounds like he has that pressure on him.
Right.
And Abramovich is not known to have patience.
No.
So question, do you guys think... I mean, this is the question. Do you think they can turn around? I mean, this is not the second game. This is the fourth game.
Ancelotti's free, man.
He could come back. You don't know. But here's the thing, though. If Chelsea's spot is open, you think they'll splash out the big bucks for a Klopp?
Ancelotti, man.
I think,
I'll tell you, he's got history there.
Definitely.
I think Ancelotti's the favorite as well to go there.
But
maybe that's just because I want Klopp. But
has Mourinho ever been fired midseason?
No.
That would be ridiculous.
I don't think a club of their stature, we were talking about this before the pod, the club of that stature, putting somebody on midseason is extremely difficult.
Yeah.
Not only because you don't expect to see results, but it just seems bad. I mean, the last big one I can think of, I mean, you can think of Moyes, although it definitely wasn't midseason. It was late on. But it was, you know, you're giving the reins to Giggs, who's kind of the manager in waiting. I mean, probably the last big one was probably when Benitez came in, right? When they fired Di Matteo.
Yeah. Must be.
That was like a really odd thing. They specifically said Benitez was the caretaker.
Yeah.
Like he knew he was not the next manager. I don't see it happening, even if they have bad results.
But it's five games, though. You're not talking about one or two.
I
mean, yeah,
they're in 17th place, but I kind of agree with Robbie. I think they ride out the season. All right, with Sean here. I think they ride out the season. I think he's gone after the season. Yeah. And I'm hoping it's not Klopp, but I think they'll definitely shell. I mean, we know they're going to shell out the big bucks for someone, but
for sure,
like you said, Abramovich expects Champs League. Yeah, though. And I mean, if they're not looking like they're going to start competing in the next five games, like I would give it another five games
this year because that's
it's hard to. It's even where they are now. It's hard not to imagine them in the Champs League, but we'll see. I mean,
anyway, we have a few more, right? So Tottenham got a late goal against Sunderland. Very fortunate to get that. Palace and City, another late goal. Aguero goes out injured. We got an 89th minute goal by this 18-year-old Nigerian, Iheanacho. I'm pretty sure is how you pronounce his name.
Yep. Yeah.
Comes on, goalie spills it, pounces on it.
Shot off
the ball.
Nasri's hard shot by Nasri.
But he was there. He poached it.
He's the only one there.
Yeah, he was.
You look at that team and you have to think, how is this 18-year-old?
You have the deepest roster in the Premier League and probably one of the deepest rosters in the game right now.
And specifically, granted, who wins the game for you? I mean, they have Sterling, Aguero, De Bruyne. I mean, they sold off Dzeko. They have, I think they have somebody else.
Boney.
I mean, it's it's insane.
Granted, Aguero and Sterling were out at this point.
Still crazy.
I mean, it's a good thing we bought all these other forwards.
I think the main thing to take away from this game is Crystal Palace can play. Man City's, they got their points. That was tough. I felt for Crystal Palace.
And that's what champions need to show, that they can win bad games.
Correct. But Crystal Palace, I mean, like, they should have came away with a point there. I mean, they played a fantastic game. They have so much pace up front, and I think their Man City is Man City is probably was probably the better team that whole match.
Yeah,
but
Palace deserved a point from that though.
That was tough.
But they were, correct me if I'm wrong, weren't they in like second or something before the start? Or no, maybe not second.
They're in sixth right now.
Yeah, they were higher than you would expect. Yeah. But
I think they're just behind Leicester.
Yeah. Speaking of higher placed teams right now, I think the most entertaining match of the weekend was Leicester City versus Aston Villa. Villa went up 2-0. And
they led 2-0 with 18 minutes
to go. And I will say Leicester's been my favorite club to watch.
They're fun to watch.
And so Mahrez, I think, was a big piece of this. He's been absolutely amazing so far. He's actually the highest scoring player in the fantasy league we play on, which is great. Yeah. Like, of all people, right?
Him and Vardy are probably the best two in the league right now.
Yeah, it's unreal.
I think they've combined for seven.
What team are they going to go to next year? I mean, it's like the Southampton.
Mahrez is going to go. Mahrez is going to go quick. Late on, I think it was in 90th, past 90th, little Nathan Dyer, man, of all people.
I think it's the 90th minute. He scored 89
goes up,
something.
Jumps up, gets just a touch of a header pass keeper.
And let's add, he nearly gets decapitated
by Guzan.
Oh, he got
destroyed. I will say, he was one of the last signings on deadline day.
And he looks great. He had a great ball in earlier. He was just quick. He was, I mean, he's what, 5'6", and he was the first of the ball. It was unbelievable.
It's absolutely crazy.
There's one more game we have to talk about.
Before we leave Leicester, can we just add one thing? Daniel Drinkwater has to be the best name in the league right now. I see this guy's jersey and I'm about,
it's amazing.
I'm about $60 shy from buying it.
Drinkwater.
Yeah. It's amazing. So, right, so one more game, on. One more. I know you're trying to delay it as much as possible.
Yeah, right.
Man U, Liverpool, the two most...
Reds versus Reds.
The two most titles, I think, right? Between the two of them?
Yep.
Yeah, not in the past 25 years, but
yeah.
So yeah, I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who had the pleasure, well, I shouldn't even say pleasure, anyone who chose to watch this match, it was really just poor.
Sloppy.
Yeah, from the get-go. The first half was, I mean, Liverpool looked atrocious.
They couldn't get it out of the back.
It was the worst I've seen them play, especially against the Man United. You'd think this was such a big game for both teams. I mean, both managers kind of on the line. Will they keep their jobs? Won't they? And both teams, and Man U in a little bit of a better spot, but both teams, you know, really needing a point of the 3 points. And it came out, and it was the worst possession I've seen from those teams ever. I mean, Liverpool could not pass the ball in their back four.
No, they tried to pass it out of the box. They lost it like three or four times, I think.
I mean, it's been the Lovren and Skrtel cannot figure it out. Yeah. This back four is a nightmare right now. I mean, we have Joe Gomez on the left back, who is a center back, and he showed his inexperience later in the game, giving up a pretty sloppy penalty kick. And yeah, it was just really disappointing as a fan, and you know, as a Liverpool fan, but really just a person that gets hyped up, sees the Man U Liverpool matchup early in the week.
Yeah, me too. I have Mignolet as my keeper.
Right, so, and I think everyone gets pumped up. I mean, NBC Sports promotes it for about a month and a half, and it literally looks like a Newington High School, Hall High School soccer match where our only offense was lobbing the ball 60 yards to Benteke,
who actually had the goal.
I'm going to go ahead and say the goal of the season
so far. Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the only bright light. And I think overall, he actually played pretty well. I think he's been definitely the best signing we've had so far this offseason, even though it was a kind of crummy offseason, it's looking like so far for Liverpool. But he played. The problem being is there is just no one there to work with him. They play the ball to his. They like to play it over the top. He's great. He wins the ball. He's strong. He takes the ball down, but he has no one there to. I mean, we play to distribute with. I think we played a 4-4-2 this weekend, and me and Rob were talking as we were watching the game. It looked like we were playing a 4-5-1 or a 4-2-3-2-1, and it's. I think it's coaching.
Yeah. It has to be
because the more frustrating thing is the week before we get actually like ridiculed. We lose 3-0 to West Ham at home. And that's not a slap in the face for Brendan Rodgers and the Liverpool team, I don't know what is. So you think that, all right, maybe that's the loss they need. Maybe they have Manchester United. And they have some unlucky injuries, and they also lost, you know, they lost Coutinho to that red card that game. But you would think that something would change in the format. And they come out with a 4-4-2, which I like. I think that's his best chance of winning. I like if they play the dime in the middle, but just completely isolated at the front. Benteke, the back four was in shambles. They don't seem to know how to possess the ball. The midfield couldn't. I think it was the lowest completing pass they've had in the past like three seasons. It was embarrassing.
I mean, I feel like knowing your position is coaching and passing is coaching. I mean, obviously the players have to play it out, but if they don't know where they're playing, which who knows, maybe they were just off, but it just sounds like it's coming from the top. And they just looked scared. Like, it didn't look like they wanted
to play.
They looked
edgy. They looked timid. Every time they touched the ball, especially the guys in the back, they looked like they didn't want to be there and they didn't want to have the ball.
And so we should have mentioned this at the top, but for those who didn't see it, it was 3-1 Man United.
It was, yeah.
There was 3-1, one other. The other big storyline was Martial, the most expensive teenager bought by United. Subbed on, got a debut goal. It was, he beat, what, three?
He was a little fortunate. He had a good little touch on. He kind of got a lucky bounce off his shin.
Nice
but beats Skrtel. Skrtel really looking stupid on the play and slots it past Mignolet for a pretty, you know, easy goal. And it was a good goal and
I don't know about you guys, I'm ready to call the next
if you were watching the match, how could you not, because that's all they talked about for 15 minutes. The last 15 minutes. But it comes 3 minutes after, a unbelievable goal by Benteke.
Yeah.
And for the only 2 minutes of the entire game, it looks like Liverpool has got a chance to get in this thing.
Yeah, and then,
the back four just it gets beat. Apart. I mean, he has the ball 50 yards out, and he takes on three guys. And frankly, you cannot have a teenager
going.
Especially when that's a must-win game and you have all the momentum going for you. I mean, props, it was a good sub in and a great goal, but...
Best 10 minutes of his life, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess the thing I wanted to stress, too, is Liverpool didn't look good. But 3-1 sounds like a solid win. Man, you did not look very good either. Whatever. They got the points. They got the goals. And, you know, maybe a couple months later we'll see it all. They beat Liverpool 3-1. But United still has a lot of problems. We don't know. I mean, Louis van Gaal has been doing a lot to tinker and different things. But it's never felt like the right team. Depay didn't have a good game. I mean, yeah, when the biggest thing... I mean, granted, Rooney's still out. He's a big part. But, I mean, they still need to pick it up, too. But De Gea did well.
De Gea did well, which was kind of, I mean, a little surprising, but I was less surprised than I think most people. He's a league goaltender, so and I think he was ready for all that to be behind him. Granted, it seemed like an awkward situation, like he was trying to get out of there, but whatever. Props to him, he played a good match.
So that leaves Manchester City still perfect record after 5 games, 11 goals scored, 0 against, so that last-minute goal. Leicester City, second place. Manchester United, Arsenal, West Ham rounding out the top five.
Yeah.
Do you think Leicester... Who do you think could be the Southampton of last year?
Oh, it's already Leicester.
You think it's Leicester?
It's already Leicester.
I don't know, West Ham. I'm throwing my hat into something else.
West Ham has a big matchup next week. I think they're playing maybe Man City. Who are they playing? Yeah, West Ham's got Man City. It's in Man City, so that'll probably be a tough matchup.
Of course, the Chelsea-Arsenal game.
But there's a chance that, you know, with the short week for Man City and all the injuries that they have going for them, West Ham could pull some magic out there.
There's two big champs leagues, Man City and Juventus, Roma and Barca.
Yeah, those are fun to watch.
I'm excited for the Man City-Juventus game. Yeah, I know Juventus has looked like crap.
I hope City pummels them.
But
City never does well in Champions League, though.
Right. And
they have a lot
Aguero's,
of injuries.
I just looked it up. Aguero's already ruled out.
Yeah.
They say Sterling's going to play, but after Aguero...
Nacho, I don't know, though.
Yeah.
game, one goal. 100%.
After Aguero got knocked out of that Crystal Palace game, I mean, we were just talking about it. They just didn't seem... They possessed the ball. They definitely had... De Bruyne looked actually pretty good.
Yeah.
I think that was a great pickup. He's going to be great. But
superb.
They didn't... The final offensive push was not there. It didn't seem like they had that last third power to put it away.
Which was the problem last year. Like, Aguero was, like, the wrong people were playing off. Like, Torre, well, companies in the back. But the thing is, it felt like Man City was the Aguero team. And so this year, I don't know, it felt a little bit more like Sterling might bring out something. And then Aguero was doing well, but it felt like it was spread around and things like that. Torre was looking a lot better. So we'll have to see. It'll be a good game. I'm not actually sure. Do you know if it's at the Emirates?
It's at Emirates, yeah.
So, and City has something to prove. And Pellegrini has something to prove. I mean, he was on the edge of being fired last year. So,
yeah,
a good game to watch.
That Man City team still looks good. I despite that Crystal Palace 1-0, I mean, we just said I don't think they kind of snuck away with that one, but they're still by far the team to beat.
Okay, that'll do it for the first half. Then we'll catch you after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentus Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons & Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Welcome back, and we'll start off the second half. So we'll get straight into our topic. So this week we want to talk about big rivalry games and basically kind of how they've changed and how, you know, some have progressed, some have regressed, and we just want to talk about that. Obviously, the biggest rivalry. Actually, I mean, honestly, there were two really big rivalry games. There was Liverpool-Man U, and there was Inter versus AC Milan. So,
big in quotation marks now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Big for me, anyway. Yeah.
Big for those at the podcast but maybe not for top table. Well, probably this year for top table relegation, especially for, it's hard to say with the Italian Serie A right now. But.
So we'll start off in the Premier League. So Liverpool, Man U. I mean, this is It's got, I mean, England is full of rivalries because people always say there's the big four now, yeah, kind of the big, yeah, five, but this is by far
the two, right, most storied clubs in England.
Most, yeah, winningest. I mean, it's like, and Man U has come on the scene strongly in the past 20, 25 years. Liverpool, I mean,
has always been, yeah, around.
Always, yeah, finished top, but has kind of done the opposite. Has kind of faded away from those tops, yeah, I mean, after really dominating the top,
yeah,
for tier so for long. I mean, so it's, long. It's really weird to say that. I think the last title was 1990.
When, yeah, I say title, it was the 25-year anniversary, yeah, this year,
wow, which is crazy. So weird to say. Yeah. But yeah, of a league title, we should say they have one title. Yeah.
I mean, I was looking up; they haven't won a cup since 2006.
Yeah!
Wow!
Title, cup, they haven't won the Europa Cup. The last time the thing they won was the FA Cup in 2006, yeah, and then before that, Champions League 2005, which, yeah, we won't go up for.
No,
but I will say, thank you. You know, it shows the resilience of a club that they can still keep their fans because, yeah, they had, right, such this, you know,
so much history behind them, yeah,
built up. But what do you think? Like, obviously, well, it's, yeah, not the,
it's,
same.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, based off this last meeting, it really wasn't there. It was disappointing, kind of watching, getting hyped up for the game we talked about earlier, and, yeah, then just really seeing poor play and what looked like lackluster enthusiasm from all, yeah, the players. I mean, guys like the things that are frustrating are guys like Firmino, for instance, who comes in the first. This is his time. First Manchester United and first Manchester United game. I mean, he's at Old Trafford, but he looked like he didn't even want to be on. I didn't even know he was playing for, yeah, at least, yeah, half the game. And he was our second biggest signing last,
yeah,
year.
He was huge. He was one of the biggest in England.
Yeah, he looked like he had no idea, let alone like what his role was on the soccer field. He just looked like he wasn't in the game.
Which, I mean, if you're going to get pumped up for a game.
Exactly. You just lost 3-0 to West Ham. You're going to Manchester, yeah, United. And, yeah, it was just frustrating.
And we'll talk about this in a second. This is definitely a beatable Man U. Like, at least if you're playing City, you feel like a little bit, oh, I don't know how we're going to deal with a team like this. This is a team you can beat.
Yeah, and everyone keeps saying, they keep all the Liverpool sites and, you know, everyone keeps talking, like, we got to find our identity. And they clearly don't know what that is right now. But I think last year when we went to Manchester United, we got beat pretty, I think it was 3-0. And it was, it was late in the season, but it was kind of a turning point for where Liverpool found their identity. They then went on to only lose, not lose 10 straight games.
Yeah.
They had, like, and of those 10 games, I think seven were wins.
And you start getting hope.
Right. Like, and they had this, they were finding ways to score. There was kind of this creativity. I mean, and they kind of found their identity. Although they lost to Man U 3-0, they definitely found their identity. There's really not a lot of positives to take away from this at all. I mean, they were sloppy out of the back. They couldn't pass or possess the ball in midfield. And up front, it's been a search we haven't really found since Suarez, and I think really the only answer right now is a healthy Sturridge.
Yeah, it really is. Which is kind of scary because he hasn't been healthy or consistently.
We got him in 2013. He hasn't finished full year. I mean, yeah, when he was with Suarez, I think they were great. I think they combined for something 52
we looked
goals.
This up. Yeah, so I think they have the third highest partnership, yeah, in the Premier League.
Suarez had 31. I think Sturridge had 21, and, yeah, that was Sturridge didn't even play a full season.
Rodgers built his career. It wasn't just that they scored.
Alone, I mean, they, right, played so well, yeah, together. Well, I think, I don't know how many assists they had to each other.
I really do think that this Benteke Sturridge, if they play a 4-4-2, they go with the diamond in the midfield. Yeah. I mean, number one important thing for Liverpool right now is you have to get healthy. We need. Yeah. They're not going to, yeah, win games unless Henderson.
They're not getting red cards.
Right. Yeah. That was brutal.
Coutinho being out
was brutal. Because, yeah, Firmino, he would be playing where Firmino played last game, and it was shocking the difference in the, yeah, offensive creativity that happened when Coutinho and Henderson weren't on the field. So I think with Henderson, Coutinho, Lallana, and Sturridge, we're a much better team. Yeah. And I think Benteke, if they play a duo up top with Benteke and Sturridge, that could work out. I mean, we just talked about Suarez and Sturridge. And I mean, Benteke's not the same player Suarez is, but they both like to be played to their feet. They're both strong physical players, and Benteke brings balls down really well, and then he can distribute to Sturridge. He just needs someone else up there to work with. They had Danny Ings up there last time, and he was, yeah, pretty much playing left winger the whole time. It was an isolation. It wasn't working out. And until I think they're healthy, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough going for Liverpool here. But back to the rivalry, it's just shocking to see. I mean, it's a year after Gerrard left,
and it feels like it was part of it.
Rooney wasn't playing, so
yeah,
it was weird to me. Just watching that match, it didn't feel like
not at all
the Man U Liverpool game we've come to know and love.
We've spent a lot of time bashing Liverpool. It is a lot of the same for Manchester United. I mean, they've probably spent a lot more money in the intervening years after Fergie left. But I think the thing that always defines it for me of how the rivalries has changed, you look at the starting lineup of both clubs, mm-hmm. and then you look at like the historical lineups, and it's just so different. Even in United, you look at like, you know, your hope is Depay, Martial. I mean, Rooney is a legendary player, I think, for them. But there are so few of them. Like, who really else? I mean, they're putting Fellaini up top. It's
Fellaini.
Like,
proved, I think, to everyone that he cannot play forward. Yeah. He is not.
He looks abysmal up top.
And I mean, that pleased no one more than me. But
I mean, he had like four or five chances where if he had like one timed it or just controlled, and his touches like just took it way out.
It's the hair. But the point is, as much as we attack Liverpool, Manchester United is a shadow of its former self. I mean, the big thought was we have Louis van Gaal. He's won different places. Not like Moyes, like a fresh. I don't know, kind of new to a big club. But Ferguson was like a scary manager. That guy knew how to win the Premier League like no other. Always won it. And now you look at these teams, they just look off. There's no... Neither club feels like they wear the badge and they know what it means to be part of that club. Because they feel like a lot of players bought from different places.
Right.
And there's, like, when you lose Gerrard, he's that central piece that can at least tie people together. Or he can tell them what everything's about. And...
Yeah, I mean,
it's tough.
Liverpool, I think, had 5 new players on the field that game, and then 6 if you're counting like Khans. He doesn't play midfield. That's his first time. It's his first experience playing that. So, a lot of that was part of it. But it was just surprising to me, especially seeing that matchup and not seeing either team get really hyped up for the whole first half. The first goal didn't come to the 49th minute, and it came off what has to be some of the most lackluster defending by Liverpool back four. It was just a set piece, and one, I think it was Mata played a ball in, and literally everyone ran. There was one guy at the top that just had a wide open shot. There was not a single person stayed with him.
So before the game started, and you both already knew, like, the teams weren't as great as they have been in the past. Were you pumped up for the game?
Yeah, I was.
What do you think about the reverse fixture? It's
gonna. I was pumped up. A lot of it was because, you know, we had these 5 guys, and you have to get pumped up if you're a Liverpool fan. You have to think, you know, we're going to maybe rebuild. Say, we got a lot of young guys out there. We got like Joe Gomez. We got this guy Klein playing back and the right back, and you want them to. You know, you want to see how they do in the top level against Man U. You know, they're going to be hopefully here for a little while. It just was. It went from excitement and like standing up to sitting on Rob's couch and just looking at each other in really just confusion as to what was happening. The passing was really the worst passing I've ever seen from like that kind of game in either of those two teams.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll talk a little bit about the Milan-Inter derby, which is, you know, it's big because obviously we were the same club and we split, you know, a while ago and we share the same stadium. So technically Inter was the home team, but, you know, I mean...
I always find that weird.
It's interesting because this is, you know, these are two teams that really haven't challenged for the title in the last 5 years or so. Right. And, you know, when you go back 10 years and you look at teams that had Inzaghi and Kaká and Maldini,
it's the same thing,
legends, right? I mean, that's when both of these teams were competing for the title, and this was the fixture that could make or break your season. And now it's almost the same way, but instead of saying, okay, we need to win this game in order to win the league, it's just like, all right, we need to win this game or else we're going to be completely deflated.
Yeah.
Right. And it's been a while since we've even won in the derby. I mean, last year were two mediocre draws. The year before that we split. And then before that, it's been since 2011 that Milan won the derby, and that was an early Pato goal. I remember. Oh my god, that was amazing. But it's It's a different meaning, right? I mean, this is still the game that you, as soon as the fixtures came out and we saw this, it was the third week and you're like, oh my God, this is right. Like when we win this game, this is going to set the pace for the season.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that now that Inter has this boost, you're going to see them go on a run. And I think that since Milan has lost, you're going to see them, it's going to take a lot to fight back from this. I mean, it's just so deflating. And it's a big fixture in the sense that I think this is the only one that actually sells out the stadium now. I mean, San Siro is, you know, what, 80,000? Like, it's a massive stadium. Yeah. And the last few years especially, I mean, you have games where it's like, you know, 30,000, 20,000. Like, no one's – and you can tell.
And big stadiums right, that have
it.
That.
You see it.
It looks so weird.
When you see the camera angle going across and the entire – you know, there's entire bleachers that are unfilled with people sitting in them. You know, it's deflating as a fan and I'm sure as a player too to know that no one's supporting you.
Mm-hmm. And you feel like so this derby has the same issue in that Inter isn't that good either. I mean, they had some good pickups over the summer, but they've had a decline. Yeah, they're in first, but they had a general decline. But
this is what I'm saying. Like, even with that lesser team, and especially seeing the results this year, I think this year was particularly important because this is the year that both teams. I mean, we finished what 8th and 11th or 8th and 10th last year, and this is the year that both teams coming out of this win. Like I said, I think this is going to propel, and you're going to see Inter win the next few games now.
Now, one thing I want to ask you guys, so I think one difference between these two games is that Milan Derby was a good game, whereas the, I don't know, Manchester United-Liverpool game
was. You can say it was a bad game.
Yeah, it was not a great game. So do you guys feel like, the obvious assumption is if all your teams are firing on all cylinders, obviously it's going to be a good match, or at least it's going to be exciting and stuff like that. Are you okay with, if it's just a good match, like getting pumped up for it, if it's at least fun football, like you don't,
you know,
it's
funny. I don't even get excited anymore. Like I was honestly just more nervous than excited. Like usually, like I had knots in my stomach leading up to the game because like I said, like since it's so early on and since it's going to set the tone for Mihajlovic and the team this year, it's just like, I knew how important this game was. So it's not just about the title race now. It's like, okay, you know, is this going to mentally prepare us for the season?
Right. I think being both these matches being so early in the season made it kind of difficult. But I mean, I think normally Manchester United, Liverpool, we walk away with 3 points. I am pumped. I'm screaming. We're going nuts. I'm happy for the week. But if we had, you know, if we had been competitive with them, kind of like I was saying the last time we met, if we had been competitive, we had showed signs of improvement. We get guys coming back next week. I could have wrapped my head around it, and I could have swallowed the 0 points. But so I think from that standpoint, since early in the season, a little of it is just wanting to see that build. You always want to go into Manchester United. You always want to come away with 3 points. Mm-hmm. But being the game so early in the season, a lot of it was wanting to build. And since it was just such a poor game, it was even more depressing walking away from that game saying, hey, we have no points. And now it's almost like we have to start over again. So it's now the second straight week where we've allowed 3 goals and we have seemed to have lost our identity as a team. So, we'll see what happens when we get our guys back. But
yeah, it's weird, too. You're right. Like you said, it's so early in the season. I think I prefer it a little bit later in the season. Obviously, schedules aren't determined based on what the biggest match is.
Right.
But sets a pace,
you know, these,
like you're saying.
You know, quote, title-defining games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is when you start billing it as whoever wins this is probably going to go on to win the title. It takes on a new meaning.
Yeah. And it's harder to see that when it's this low points. But I mean, hopefully it'll get better. I mean, it's hard to see the future, obviously. But I think one rivalry that I think is on the rise is actually the one Munich versus Dortmund. I don't think it was as much of a traditional rivalry, but Dortmund has done really well
since that Champions League.
Yeah, that Champions League final was really good, and there were always question marks once Klopp left. And now they're flying. They've won the League Cup a couple of times. Munich has lost it under Pep every year at the start, the Super Cup or whatever they play. Uh-huh. And that is one that's really great to watch, especially because Dortmund has a really good fan. Like, they have great fans.
Right.
That
go
insane.
Yeah.
Like, whenever you see their stadium, you always see how much black and yellow. And it's just, it's insane. So that's a cool one to watch because Munich... I mean, Munich is always dominant. They're always buying bigger players because they have the money. So
yeah, and I love watching those Germans teams play. I mean, they come in guns blazing. They'll let it. Yeah, I mean, they'll let it rip from it. There's an open spot pass that field, and yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting football to watch. So.
And they're both pretty attacking teams. They're not defensive teams at all. So.
Absolutely.
The other one that's a one on the rise is actually the Madrid derby. So Atleti used to just get steamrolled by Real Madrid every single year. They've even had good teams in the past, but they always got beat by Real Madrid. Now, it's actually pretty consistently swung in the favor of the other way. Atleti consistently wins. It's a little different because Atleti is much more of a defensive team than these other squads, Madrid obviously being offensive, but it's still a crazy watch match, match to watch. It can get cagey at times, but I mean, last year, Atleti won 4-0.
Yeah, that was
like,
nuts.
You know, you see these beatdowns. Atleti's a serious team. Proud to say somehow Diego Simeone has never beaten us. Drawn twice, lost 5 times, I believe. But that's a derby that's on the rise, too. And it's, I don't know, I just love seeing these derbies come up. And that's literally a real derby where they're in the same city.
Yeah.
And so you see that. Like,
well, we're in the same stadium, just saying.
Yeah. Right. It's like, hey, like, you know, you're my neighbor. I know you. Yeah. But, you know, like, you're my brother, yet I hate you for today. Yeah. So it's cool to see those. And I hope we see more rivalries pop up. I mean, you see good teams all around the world.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, rivalries like ours will rise again to, you know, to be the title defending ones eventually, like Barcelona, Madrid, and Atleti and Madrid now, too.
Yeah, I think the next time you see Man U and Liverpool play, it'll definitely be a little... I think not, especially not having Henderson and Rooney and a lot of those, you know, those English guys that, you know, like the Carragers, the
Danny Drinkwater.
Danny Drinkwaters.
That's what should be the transfer policy. Yeah. What's
you
your
have
name?
To find guys.
We need
like
you
that.
To put. We
what
need
was
to put
Snodgrass? Was the other one I really liked.
No. The guy who Chelsea bought. Oh, no one but Gab Marcotti can pronounce his name. The guy who they bought at the last minute a couple weeks ago. Oh, my gosh. I don't even remember how to pronounce it. He's from France, but okay, I think that'll do it for this week. We want to thank Alex for being a special guest.
Yeah, thanks
good
for having
week
me
to be on here.
It was a crazy week, a lot of crazy matchups.
So if you want to check out more podcasts like this, well, we're here every week. You can check us out at thecommentist.com. We have more podcasts at that. Also, if you can, subscribe to us on iTunes, give us some stars, comment if there's stuff you want us to talk about, things like that. You can check us out on there. And
FIFA 16, baby.
FIFA 16, one week. Who's on the cover? I always forget.
Henderson. Let's go. I actually think he might be.
So, yeah, FIFA's coming out. If you we might be streaming some Twitch game, or we might be streaming some games of FIFA on our YouTube.
We're gonna
channel.
Set up a fund so that we can get
Twitch,
Sean
Twitch
Thomas the game.
FIFA?
Yeah,
oh yeah, it's happening. Yeah.
So if you can look at our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/thecommentist.
No, not yet. Just search for the Commentist on YouTube.
Silly,
it's in the works.
I know, it's in the works. Yeah.
So yeah, check us out, and we hope to see you next week.
Thanks.